So as Darren said, my name's Erin and I'll be doing the reading today. We're starting in Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Almighty Lord will accomplish this. And our next passage is from Luke chapter 2, from verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby in company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests.'" When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, and the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas to everyone. Paul Cooper's my name. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church in Campbelltown. And thanks so much for being with us here on this Christmas morning. It's wonderful to share some time together with all of you here celebrating this life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together and for the time to reflect on your work in the world. And Father, we ask that you would help us now to hear your words and to see the true meaning of Christmas. Amen. So at the beginning of this account that Erin has just read for us, we've heard that there's this census that's been ordered, hasn't there? There's this census, and it's been ordered by a man who's got some real authority back in the day, Caesar Augustus. He's the Roman emperor at the time. Now, calling a census for us probably doesn't sound all that significant, right? We probably don't feel like the weight of the authority that stands behind the census. Our approach to the census is pretty casual, really. You know, I'm not sure we're all that concerned, really, about the authority that sits behind a census. The 2001 census, for example, there were 73,000 Australians who said that their religion was Jedi Master. All right, that's a pretty casual response. And I did some research, and this slide here, this is a slide from the 1880s in America, and it seems he said that the occupation of their 15-year-old daughter was, did as she pleases. That's what that says up there, did as she pleases. Or the next slide, in 1911, this is in England now, a grandmother wrote the occupation of, that was her occupation. But they're not really examples, are they, of taking the authority behind the census, at least, really seriously. Not really. But here in chapter 2 of Luke, we do know that the Roman Emperor has real power and real authority, and we know it because the people, they took that census very seriously indeed. Very seriously, because everyone, at least everyone in the region, was on their way to their hometown to register for this census. Now you imagine, that would be like everyone in Adelaide heading back to where they came from back in the last census, heading back to their hometowns. Could you imagine that? The thousands and thousands of people all heading back to their hometowns. What a pain that would be. Stop work, organise someone to feed the dog, water the garden. Well, I don't think we'd do it. To make that happen, that takes real authority. Real authority. And that's the authority that the Roman Empire had at the time. But for all of the human organisation and the human strength and the power of the Roman Empire, we see the might, the strength of the Roman Empire, it would be nothing compared to the birth of a baby. This little baby, Jesus. Now, on one hand, that seems hard to believe, doesn't it? A humble little baby could be greater. But Luke wants us to know here, Luke, the author of this account, he wants us to know, actually, that is true. It's just not power or greatness in the way that we might normally describe it. But think about this for a moment. The prophecy of Micah, it was written about 700 years before Jesus, and in chapter 5, it says this. It says some words, and there we go. It says this in chapter 5. It says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. He'll stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. See, Joseph and Mary, they might have gone to Bethlehem because the Roman Emperor commanded a census. But it would be there that Mary would give birth to Jesus. Exactly the way the ancient prophecy of Micah said it would happen. It told King David, 1,000 years before Jesus, someone from your line will reign forever as king. And Luke here wants us to know that Joseph is from the house of King David. That's in verse 4 there on your outlines. Joseph is from the house of King David. And since Jesus is Joseph and Mary's firstborn son, Jesus has the rightful inheritance of the kingdom. See, Luke wants us to know, and make no mistake, Jesus is God's forever king. He's the Messiah. Now that is power, isn't it? That's power. God saying through Micah and David what would happen far in the future. And then there's centuries of human activity. Kingdoms rise and fall. Emperors live and die, new ones rise up over and over and over again, and none of it changes God's plan. Like, to God, all of that human activity, it must be like ants running around on an anthill. Because it all happens exactly the way powerful. If you take a look at verse 9 with me there in your outlines, with the shepherds, could you imagine that night being a shepherd, quietly tending your sheep? The darkness of the night settled in, maybe the occasional murmur between the shepherds, the rustling around of the sheep. And then suddenly the night sky just lights up around you with the glory of the Lord, bright light saturating you. Something supernatural is happening right there. And it's terrifying. You know when you're asleep at night and about 2 a.m, you hear a loud noise at the window and you just jolt awake? And you get that stab of fear right down in your gut. Like that. But 100 times more. Like, God is powerful. And the shepherds here, they get a glimpse of God's power. But God doesn't exercise his power here in any human sort of way. Not the way a nation or an empire or any human ruler might demonstrate their power. He exercised his real power through a baby born in a manger. A feeding trough, probably. See, God's real power here is demonstrated by this baby, because this baby will bring peace. That's what this baby will do. Seems a simple word, really, doesn't it? Peace. Seems a simple word, but it isn't. Because no human ruler, no human kingdom has ever delivered complete and lasting peace. But this little baby will. So he'll bring peace with God, and that is what is really powerful. Because that's what God wants for us. He gives what's best for us. It's not wealth, it's not influence, it's not status, it's not anything like that. Actually, what God gives is relationship. He gives relationship. And this little baby Jesus, he was born to bring us back into a relationship with our Creator. And we can only have that if there's peace with him. It's how relationships work, isn't it? You can't have a real relationship with someone if there isn't peace between the two of you. See, Jesus, he'd grow up, he'd take the wrong that we do towards our Creator on himself, and he'd do it by dying. And then he would rise, defeating death. See, he deals with our sin. He brings us back to a relationship with God through faith. And that's a relationship that actually it extends to all of us. If you think about our church here, our gathering, we wouldn't have this connection to each other without the relationship with God that Jesus gives us. But because of it, we have a community family. We have a spiritual family. And we meet and we care and we walk with each other in faith. See, the peace of Jesus, it doesn't just gather us into a relationship with God. It gathers us together around him, just as it will be when we are with him together in eternity. See, that's the real gift of Christmas. It's relationship. And it's a gift that's given freely through the peace of Jesus, who is Saviour, Messiah and Lord. Now, if we think about that, we can understand, can't we, the shepherds at the end of that account there, of that reading, where they leave and they glorify and they praise God as they go. We can understand why they would do that. And so what about us here today, Christmas here in Adelaide? Well, at the end of the reading that we heard from Aaron there, what we heard was that all who heard about this baby were amazed. That's verse 18 on your outlines. They were all amazed. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and she pondered them. She considered them. It means she gave careful thought to these things in her heart. Now, they're two different reactions, aren't they? The first is to wonder at Jesus, you know, be impressed or be astonished. That's fair enough. But the second, that's to seriously take a close look. That is to weigh it up. That's to turn it over. Contemplate it. Put it all together. Work out what it means. Now, this Christmas, I haven't opened all of my gifts, but I did ask for a book for Christmas. Now, let's assume that this book and what this book has to say could change my life. Let's assume that. I doubt it, because what I asked for was a trashy action novel to take away on holidays. But let's assume that there's another book, perhaps, that I will get with the potential to change my life. Now, if that was the case, I could unwrap it, I could marvel at it, I could gaze at it in wonder, I could be astonished by its hard cover. But it wouldn't make any difference to me, would it, or to my life, if that's as far as it went. Now, to make a difference, I'd need to consider it, not just look at it. I'd have to try and understand what it's all about. I'd have to figure out, what does it mean to me? And the gift of Jesus is a bit like that. Now, you might be here this morning and you might know Jesus as your Saviour, your Messiah and your Lord. Perhaps some wonder, but not quite sure about him yet. Or you might be here and you might be like I was years ago. You're just here because someone dragged you along and you're just keeping them happy. It's Christmas after all. Wherever we are in regards to Jesus, perhaps this Christmas we can take the time to be like Mary. Ponder in our hearts the relationships that Jesus gives, what they really mean. Consider what they really mean to us. Be reminded, or maybe figure out for the first time, just how important and valuable it is. And consider our response to God, to the God who gives them to us. See, God is so powerful, but he uses the power that he has to give us what we need, and it's relationship. And it starts with a relationship with him through Jesus. And so this Christmas, my prayer is that we will glorify and we will praise God for what he's done, that we'll treasure his gift of peace this Christmas, and that we will treasure the internal relationships that he so freely holds out to each and every one of us. How about I lead us in prayer for those things now? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that Jesus is Saviour, Messiah and Lord. And we thank you for the gift of peace that he brings and the relationship to you and to each other that he gives through faith. Father, we ask you to help us to consider that this Christmas and to respond to it with deep thankfulness, glorifying and praising you.